that we have at risk here. They've got their own money, their private financing, and also their own sweat and blood and energy and endeavor there. So to me, it's a, you know, we can get real self-righteous about it here around the table and say these guys shouldn't be given a break, and by golly, we got to protect the state's treasury. But I think that's a wrong-headed approach because it's not a realistic approach, and it's a I think it's a lot better to take a positive approach to help an industry that's struggling, to help those that are productive, not the ones that aren't productive, but the ones that are making, you know, haven't made an investment, are putting their life into the thing, and I think we can show a little compassion for that kind of situation.
Representative Davidson Brown.
I think I'll yield the floor.
Representative Brown.
Thank you. I was just going to note that this bill subsidizes people and writes down their loans or would allow that whether they have financial problems or not. So, you know, this is not a needs-based approach because it's allowing anyone to equally qualify. And, you know, the whole issue of people struggling and people being in trouble is really a difficult one to deal with. And on the Economic Recovery Committee, we've spent a lot of time pondering the circumstances of Alaskans who are having difficulty. And I guess in my mind, I'm not comfortable with, let me put it this way. I don't think the state has a large enough treasury to bail out everyone who's in some kind of difficulty. And then the question becomes, who is deserving of some kind of special compensation from the state to get through these times, and how can criteria be developed that fairly treat everyone who's affected? And I think, you know, we can look around and see that many, many people are affected. So I guess I'm just not comfortable saying, you know, that this particular group of people deserve to just have the money that they've loaned, forgiven. I think a much more better approach and one more comparable to what we would see in a fourplex, the situation for Representative Frank was describing, is, you know, a workout. And my understanding is, you know, that's what the department suggests, is that these people apply for a restructuring and restructure under the current program. I mean, yes, it's preferable from the state's point of view and the individual's point of view to keep that going, keep that enterprise going, and not have that foreclosure. And, you know, we've certainly encouraged our institutions at all levels where the state has this, you know, situation of people in danger of not making their payments to, you know, work with people and try to come up with something. But I think, you know, what's being proposed here is not a stretch out or a restructuring. It's just, you know, a forgiveness without regard to need.
Chairman?
Yes.
On the question as regards to need, you know, I can guarantee you that all 14 of them have the need, that it isn't that some don't and some do. I guess that'd be my brief response in that.
Representative Frank.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think one difference here is Representative Larson or any other representative could have taken a different approach to bring relief to the farmer. In this case, he could have suggested that interest rates be dropped. Substantially reduced to bring the same dollar level of relief to a given farmer, but I think the production credit shifts the relief to those that are producing and those that are actually achieving the original objective of our agriculture policy in the state, that is to produce, not just to borrow and sit on land or speculate on land or whatever. And that's why I think that the production credit idea is, though it may be a little bit harder to understand and contemplate because it's a little unusual, I think it actually is a more, it is better policy because it achieves a better end. I think, you know, you could do it in a different manner that might gain with more acceptance. You know, the idea of reducing an interest rate probably would go through the legislature a little easier. Maybe it would, I don't know. But the effect of a reduction in interest rate can be much more substantial than a flat reduction in the principal. I mean, it depends on how long you're stretching the loan over and that sort of thing. I think the key thing is that it's rewarding and keep helping those dairy farmers that are producing. And it's not, helping the land speculator or the non-productive farmer. It's encouraging production, and I think that's a laudable feature to the bill.
I disagree with you. I think this bill is going in the opposite direction. It's going to hurt the agriculture more if you pass this piece of legislation, because what you're doing is less of the loan payments that go into your agriculture revolving loan fund. You reduce that, and the guy that's producing out there has no place to go because you have no money over there to help him when he has a shortage of perhaps of the market of grain. And, you know, I think this particular bill harms the producer more than it does the one that's not producing. But the people that are not making any money, maybe we should help them, get them out of a dairy farm, give them a student loan there to go to get another field. I mean, that wasn't facetious, but I mean, that's what we're supposed to look at. Yes.
Could I respond?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I think your point would be very valid. If we, you know, if we knew that not everybody or that only a low percentage of the people needed this, then I think you'd take the approach of relief to those that really needed it. I think what we've seen here is a demonstration that the entire industry is in kind of a tough shape, and that these loans are more than likely not going to be paid back at all, and that we're going to lose the entire balance, not just 25% of the balance.
Regardless how this bill is written, it goes for all farmers and dairies. It doesn't go according to your financial need, whether you need it or not. You'll get it anyway if you're really a producer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two points, I guess. This bill number one does not apply to any loans that they have from the state that's due to the land. Number two, this is all retroactive. It's nothing in the future. The production credits apply only to the production that they have had in the last 3 years. It will not apply to any future production credits. In other words, it's recognizing those who have done something to help themselves during the last 3 years. It does not address future production.
Any further questions? We haven't adopted the CS yet, but Representative Davis, go ahead, please.
Well, I was just, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just looking at this legislation and
line 23K.
I'm a little unclear here about the production credits. Would these farmers, in addition to the current agricultural production credits, also qualify for the production credits for the dairy products? I mean, this is a new addition to the current law. So those production credits that are actually repealing next year. And that's for the loans, agricultural loans made on the land. Now, are these people currently earning production credits on the land that's owned?
Whatever it says there, I just caught part of what you had said. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. No, Mr. Larson. It's basically this is a, and I just read the letter from the department in it. And they said allow existing production credit program to terminate after this tax year and refrain from establishing a new program described in this bill. But I don't know if they qualify already for a production credit on the land that they're making payments on. And my question was, if they do, is this or do
it's
they?
It's my understanding that the existing situation that they have with the department comes to an end here in this year, and therefore whatever programs they had do away with. What this would do would be to recognize then that the production credits on any loans that they had other than on the land would take place at the rate here of $2.68 per hundredweight.
Yeah, according to the statutes, that it does is repealed.
I guess your question, year. Have they been paying? The answer is no. Because they have had other things.
Even the one that could be able to pay are not paying either, according to the audits. Yes, Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just startled to hear Representative Larson say that this was terminating, because I don't read it to say that. As it says, you know, on lines 17 and 18, the commissioner shall establish a program, and then it goes on to say, the other material there. And then down here on line 23, the annual credit for the years 85 through 87 is such and such. And then it never says anywhere that this program is terminated after so many years or this act is repealed after such and such a time. And then I guess that'd be one question. I just don't see where it says what you said that it did. And then the other question I have, Mr. Chairman, is the sentence that begins on line 26 and a half or 27, the credits available under this section and 015 are limited to 25% of the principal debt incurred. If the principal debt incurred can continue to go up because we're continuing to loan them substantial amounts of money, so really what we're doing is just setting up a situation where the future loans that they're going to get can be, you know, 75% reduced, or we're going to give them 25% for free, or am I missing something?
Yeah, I think so. It was our intent, and I believe the way in which the bill is written, is that this only applies to the years 85, 86, and 87. And therefore, if a debt was incurred after that time, this bill would not affect it. Or if any production amounts after that time would not be compensated either. It only provides for those 3 years for production during those 3 years with the debts that existed during those 3 years.
Then I respectfully suggest we should terminate it, or I don't see what would keep the department from just, says the commissioner shall establish a program, from establishing a program and setting the credit by regulation or by policy or in some other manner. So it doesn't, you know, it doesn't say that it's terminated. It says the commissioner shall set up this program, and it specifies what the credit is for three particular years.
I guess if I understand your question correctly, how does this production credit bill relate to any other production credits that they may have been receiving during this period of time? Is that the question?
Well, that may be a question, but no, my question is
this production credit applies just to the dairies, and it applies to, maybe Representative Frank has a better answer there than I do.
Mr. Chairman, if that is the intent, then maybe we could clarify the language by an amendment. And I would propose an amendment under B there on line 23 that said the credit shall be for production in the years 1985 through 1987 and shall be $2.68 per hundredweight. Dah, 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 dah. Would that satisfy you?
Any further questions?
I think it already states for dairy products only, so it's limited to the dairy.
Representative Larson, I have a CS before me. Would you move it so I can have something before me, please?
Good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that we accept the committee substitute for House Bill number 415 Finance as the committee substitute.
Is there any objections? Hearing none, we do have before us a committee substitute for House Bill number 415 Finance. Is there any further debate? What's the pleasure of the group?
Mr. Chairman, I move committee substitute for House Bill number 415 from Finance Committee with individual recommendations.
Is there any objections?
Object.
There's objections.
I just think, do you want me to speak?
Yes.
I think that I'm just concerned about the method or approach here. I think we could do it a different way, which would not be an overall cost to the Treasury. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, the brief response that I would have is that we've heard testimony in relation to restructuring. These individuals have worked with to try to work out a restructuring plan. As yet to no success to my knowledge, other than one potentially, and that this is a judgment call. And my call once again is saying, let's walk the other step. It's going to cost us potentially up to $2 million, but if we don't, we know it's probably going to cost us up to $10 million.
The chair will vote to move it out of committee, but I will sign a do not pass on the piece of legislation because I don't think it's in the best interest of the state, even though you know, we have our arguing points.
I have no problems with that. That'll give me more time to get some information, too.
Thank you. Is there any further debate? Roll call vote on the motion to move out committee substitute for House Bill number 415, Finance.
Adams?
Yes.
Lawyer?
Yes.
Brown?
No.
David?
No.
Steve?
Yes.
Gall?
Yes.
Rochelle?
Yes.
Rieger?
Yes.
Wallace?
Yes.
Thank you. Committee substitute for House Bill number 415, Finance, is moved out of committee with individual recommendations. The next bill we've got is House Bill number 439. This particular bill is an act relating to entitled for municipalities and incorporated communities and providing for an effective date. This particular bill was in subcommittee with Representative Larson. We all know what it does, and Representative Larson, would you go over the bill? The only change that you have made was a triggering mechanism that is stated on page 2, lines 25 through 26. Sir.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think you amply stated basically what it does is that this bill has to do with revenue sharing, and it says that this bill will not affect the revenue sharing dollars that any municipality is getting, and that it will only take an effect if the revenues under revenue sharing are increased from the present level to the $44,283,400.
Is there any questions of Representative? Yes, Representative Pushill.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I was. My concerns with the bill previously have been addressed. I kind of applaud the subcommittee chair for the method of dealing with the problem of trying to address a problem that I think needs to be addressed, without at the same time not leaving the whole process at the mercy of an ultimate funding decision. And I think this is a good way of doing that. I support the effort to provide more meaningful amounts of money at the bottom end. And obviously, I take a parochial view that I don't want that money coming out of my municipality's pocket, and I think this achieves it. Mr. Chairman, I would just note that being the state-wide kind of person, that even though the reallocation would cost my municipality $1,374 just because of the way that it's rounded off, that I would still support the bill in front of us.
Representative Wallace and Representative Frank, you were on the subcommittee. Do you have anything to say on this? Is there anybody that would like to testify on this bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to be sure that I understand the implication for the future then would be that unless the base amount is increased, that because more is going into the communities with the lowest population, that the other communities would get a lower amount in the future. And so by some sense, I guess we are incurring or setting up a situation where it would be hard not to keep this hold harmless going, or am I interpreting this right? Is that your understanding?
Okay. Mr. Chairman, if I interpret the question, well, let me first of all say the philosophy that there's X numbers of dollars in the pool and then there's X numbers in this miscellaneous pool, that we're saying that those municipalities will be guaranteed what they're getting now. And that in order to increase those in the miscellaneous pools, which would be these smaller communities, the unincorporated, that's where the additional dollars would have to go into. And if there aren't any additional dollars, it does not affect this first pool.
Is that this year only, or is that in the future?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Is it this year only?
No. It's our intent here that this would have to be the minimum level of funding for revenue sharing, whether it be this year or next year or whenever, in order to carry forth this.
We do have also Jim Plasma of Department of Community and Regional Affairs, if there anybody has any questions regarding the department. Representative Frank.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I do have some questions for the department.
Jim? Mr. Plasma, would you state your name for the record, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, my name is Jim Plasma, and I work with the Department of Community and Regional Affairs.
Jim, what is the least amount of people that comprise an unincorporated community that currently receives funds under this law?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Frank, the law requires 25 permanent residents to reside in the unincorporated community to qualify.
Is that under statute or regulation?
That is statute.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Further questions of the department? Yes, Representative Weckheimer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What is the area cost of living differential? What's that based on?
Representative Adams, Representative Mr. Chairman, Representative Swackhammer. That's based on the provision set out in Title the revenue sharing statute makes reference to provisions in Title 37 or 36, I guess, public employment, and makes reference to those, and that's where we draw those figures from.
Mr. Chairman, the area differential for state employees, that's the same cost differential.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, Representative Swackerman, that's what we have been using.
Any further questions to the department?
Yeah, I have a question. My understanding, Jim, is that even though you are supposed to get $50,000 per unincorporated community, that because of the way the thing works, the funding exists, that you don't, in fact, get $50,000, even though you may qualify for it under the law. Can you shed some more light on that?
It's a present law. It's $25,000. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Frank, yeah, yes, that's correct. In the miscellaneous services account, there's payments made for roads, health facilities, hospitals, unincorporated communities, and volunteer fire departments in the unincorporated area. And each one of those are linked to a specific payment level, like $2,500 per road mile, $2,000 per bed. When the amount appropriated or allocated to that miscellaneous services account is insufficient to pay for the full funding level for all those entitlements, then the statute provides that the amount paid to each recipient will be prorated on the basis, just so because you can't spend more money than is in the account.
So the effect is that some communities that you'd think would get $25,000 currently don't. Is that true?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Representative Frank, that is correct.
Just as a ballpark figure, how close to full funding are on that under existing law and existing funding?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Frank, we're at about, for this year, FY88, we're looking at about 55%.
I see. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any further questions to the department? Representative Larson?
Yes, I would move that we adopt committee substitute for House Bill number 439, Finance.
Is there any objections? Hearing none, we have adopted the committee substitute. Is there any questions, Representative Pichot?
Yeah, I, Mr. Chairman, I stand corrected. I was reading a March 30th letter from the Division of Community and Regional Affairs on the Anchorage calculation. Apparently, their additional money was added. My community will gain $3,000. I like the bill even more.
Is there anything else to come before us? Any more quick questions?
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we move committee substitute for House Bill 439, Finance, from the Finance Committee with the accompanying fiscal note with individual recommendations.
Is there any objections? Hearing none, this bill is moved out of committee with the fiscal note and its individual recommendations. I'd like to make two announcements. Tomorrow, we're going to meet with the Senate Finance. We're going to go over revenues at 1:30 tomorrow. And one of the things that I hope to accomplish out of this meeting is to try to find a number in dollars that the Senate can agree on the $15 per barrel. Is it $1.833 billion? Is it $1.870? Is it $1.896? But I think that we need to at least agree on a number, even though that the Senate is disagreeing with the Department of Revenue in the way they calculate and they present their format. Then after that, we'd like to come back over here and close out the followings: Military Veterans Affairs, Administration, and Courts. And those cut sheets are in my office available for you. So we'll see you at 1:30 tomorrow.